My name's Christine Powell. I'm the volunteer coordinator on the student exec here at CITR. But today is 24 hours of student power, a day when CITR takes time to celebrate the student voices here at UBC. Every year, we hear from students engaging with the community in a ton of different ways. I decided to sit down with undergraduates conducting research on campus. I sat down with Mari Kondo and Varsha Rani, two students working in Becker Frank's Fish Welfare Lab here at UBC.
Hi, my name is Mari, and I'm in fourth year studying applied animal biology and land and food system faculty at UBC. I'm originally from Japan, but I moved here a couple years ago to learn English and other interests, wild animals in particular.
My name is Varsha Rani, and I'm in third year applied animal biology in the Faculty of Land and Food System at UBC. And I'm originally from India, moved here a few years ago.
If you guys could go over the process of the research, like how it started, what questions you had at the beginning, and where you are now.
My supervisor, Becca Franks, I was interested in doing a thesis over the summer, so she suggested there is this lateralization of eye usage in across different species, and she said that may be applied to zebrafish, which we are studying right now. So she said, would I be interested in looking into that? And we already had videos from other projects, so I decided to use those videos and then look at which eye they're using to inspect different types of objects. And then I have coded that over the summer, and now I'm currently analyzing the results, trying to figure out the connections between different objects and which eye they're preferably using. Some of the literatures do say right hemisphere is controlling negative emotions, and then left hemisphere is controlling positive emotions. So we're trying to connect, hopefully, right eye. So left eye is going to be connected with more negative emotions, and that's, I think it's seemed to be common in human and other vertebrates, but not so much in fish. So I'm not sure if I'm going to get a definite results, but I'm trying to figure out how they're connected with the objects. Some are predatory model objects like sharks and dinosaurs, so they're kind of scary-ish emotions. And some are spongy balls, so they're kind of ambiguous, but
spongy balls,
yeah.
And can I just get you guys to go over how you collected your data?
So we had the videos where we from last year when 30 different types of novel objects were put into the 6 experimental tanks, and I think we took an hour worth of video.
I think it was
10 minutes. Okay. So the objects were in the tank for 10 minutes, and we made a video clip for the first 100 seconds and the last 100 seconds. So there's the start period and the end period. And then I came up with this pattern where counting the number of inspection or transaction across the objects for every 10 seconds within the 100 second video. And I would look at 8 different patterns. So when I would count it for 8 different patterns, so then right eye going in front of the object, right eye going back of the object, left eye front, left eye back. And then there's also a part where there's the objects were stuck onto a glass rod, and sometimes the fish, or quite often the fish, would only go over the rod. So I would have this, I would have, I had the same right eye front rod, right eye front back, etc. So I had in total 8 different patterns, and I would manually count how many times they crossed.
How many videos did you code?
I think I coded 101 videos, but we have like 500 and some videos. There are things that they would, the fish would have never seen in their entire life, and we're trying to see how they're going to respond to the objects by looking at the eyes.
So what's your analysis process like? What are you trying to do right now?
So I'm using a statistical program called R, and I'm trying to look at, they call it a lateralization index in the literature most often. So how often they're using, or what's the proportion of the right eye usage against different types of object.
Why do you think fish are such an interesting topic to be studying right now?
Fishes are the most widely used animals in science right now, and especially in the past 2 years. If you look at the CCAC report, they are being used as the second most animals or the first animal. Other than that, I've started to find them really interesting after I volunteered at the Vancouver Aquarium. And before I started working, I didn't even know what zebrafish was. And now
I was like, no, what zebrafish? Zebra and a fish?
What did the zebrafish look like?
They are about 3 centimeters in length, and they have horizontal
stripes, and they're usually blue or purple in color, and the front.
Right? It's blue and purple.
Yeah.
It's bluish.
No, they're black and tail.
Are they?
Yeah.
Hey, they look blue to me.
I think you're crazy. I'm pretty sure they're black and white.
So, just really brief, because you already went over it, but what is lateralization?
Lateralization is just the cerebral functional asymmetry of the brain.
In layman's terms.
So, it's just the division of labor in between the both hemispheres, as Mari already gave an example of the negative emotions in the right hemisphere, which is seen in the most later evolved vertebrates, such as mammals. So,
are there any examples of mammals that
show
effective lateralization?
Paper about the dog and their sniffing nostrils.
Did you read it?
Except for the olfactory part, smell is processed in the same hemisphere. So right, what you sniff from your right nostril is going to be processed in your right hemisphere, and then left side is going to be processed in your left hemisphere. So they tested a dog with different types of smell, and one was associated with their owner or some food or something happy and positive, and then negative one, obviously a veterinarian smell. And then they looked at which nose they would use to sniff this object with the associated smell. And they found that commonly dogs would use their left side of their nose to smell the positive stimulus, and then positive inducing stimulus, and right side of their nose to smell the veterinary, and so negative inducing stimulus.
I know you talked about in your presentation individual versus general lateralization. Would you mind speaking about
population? Sure. So population lateralization is just a pattern. So a population lateralization can be seen in humans, such as handedness. Majority of the population is right-handed. Individual lateralization, you don't see any pattern in the overall population, but you do see individuals preferring one part of their body to do certain tasks, one side of their body to do a certain task rather than the other. And there's this recent paper I read about cat paws. Cats are individually lateralized. So they do not prefer, so overall the population, they don't prefer their one paw over the other, but individually, they do have a preference for their paw. And some of the cats, they don't have any preference. They can use either of their paws.
Ambidextrous cats.
We have ambidextrous cats.
Okay, you start, I know that there are tons of discrepancies in the literature, and people don't agree about which side of the brain does what. Was that really frustrating when you were compiling your research?
It is, because I would read it and read the literature, and before I knew nothing. I was like, oh, so this is the pattern. And then I would go to the next paper and be like, wait, it's switched? And then I would go to the next paper and it's like, no, I think it's the same. And then next paper, no, it's the opposite. So, and but, then they, a lot of people claim that this is the general pattern. But when you look at the individual papers, that's not quite what's happening, or it's quite often the case where it's non-significant, like slight, very, it's kind of, there were some ambiguous cases where it's just like, is this really the case?
Why is that?
I think most of the papers I read for my review, they varied a lot by the age of the fish. And what I understood, I mean, before I started writing or reading, I was assuming that the papers that are testing larval stages of fishes will show more variances in the results rather than the adult fish, but I found the case to be opposite. And I think, I mean, I was basing my assumption because there are some literature outside where it says that the zebrafish's brain develops over time. So over time, I'm assuming if you test an 8-day-old zebrafish to a 12-day-old to a 14-day-old, you may find different results. However, that one's not the case. Whereas an adult zebrafish, it was, they were even, like, I think I read around 6 papers that either said left lateralization and right lateralization in one of the paper, and the study we are doing, there is a similar study outside there with the objects, and that's, they say that the zebrafish are not lateralized at all.
It really depends on what kind of object you're using. If you're using a fierce inducing stimulus, or if it's going to be something like other type of fish, other zebrafish. And also it depends on how long you're showing that stimulus. What's the definition for novel object? Like, how long is it going to be? Because it's been shown that the lateralization pattern changes within the time. I think the first 5 minutes, they consider it as a novel object. And then the last 5 minutes, after the 5 minutes, they don't. Other literature reviews do say emotions probably developed after amphibians. And I kind of want to disagree with that, because when I feed the zebrafish, I do see a lot of excitement going on. I'm pretty sure they have emotions. They know when food is coming, and I'm pretty sure they get excited and happy when they see us.
And they bully each other as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have emotions.
Yeah.
So I think I can rule that out.
Are you guys ever scared of anthropomorphizing animals in your research?
You know, when I was volunteering at the aquarium, during my training, I was told not to anthropomorphize animal. But over the classes I've been taking and working in the lab, I feel like that's the only way to approach animal welfare. Even this morning, I was thinking about, you know, belugas in the Vancouver. It's a very controversial topic. But then I was just thinking, I mean, these animals have their social groups. And what would it be for me to be like if I was kept in a room, maybe one another person, for most part of my life? How would I feel? Even though, I don't know, I think that's the only way to approach animal welfare, for now at least.
Yeah, I think if you want to help improve their situation, you kind of have to be like one of them and think, like, what would they feel if I was in that situation? And yeah, people do say you're not supposed to do it, but because we're looking at the animal welfare and improving their tanks and enrich soft and make them feel as if they're in a better state, you do have to go into their boots.
If you guys were going to do a follow-up study to this research, what would you like to know more about in terms of lateralization?
I would test males and females differently. I want to know what are the lateralization that exists between both gender, because I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm assuming that males and females are different in
some
fishes
studies,
as well.
Some studies
yeah.
do say they're different, but some others, they say, no, they're the same, so...
I mean, there was this one literature. I mean, there was only one, so my basis is just based on the one, but it made really compelling argument that there are differences between the aggression that's shown, seen in males and females. I mean, aggression is an emotion, and they can show this towards novel stimuli as well.
So do humans use eye lateralization?
I've read a paper where most of the portraits of the human, they face their left side of their body because they want to, but they can lie. They're better at lying on their left side of their face, so they will face that hidden their lying side, I guess, for when they're getting painted.
Okay.
So I think there are some things in humans.
What does your study mean for animal welfare?
My study, if I can find the differences between the different objects and how they're using their eyes, I'm hoping to connect it with what kind of objects they were and say, this is hypothetically, they were using their right eye more to look at these fearful-inducing objects. And then... if that's the case, later on I can say if they're using, let's say you put in a object that's neutral or novel to them, and then look at which side of their eye they're using, and look at, oh, this fish is in a fearful state, this fish is using more of their right eye, therefore this fish is in a fearful state. And then we can figure out why is it not doing well, and then try to improve or figure out what's wrong and fix it.
Well, I'm just generally, she's focusing more on every single particular object. I'm just looking at the novelty in general. And my end goal is to see if there is an association of negative emotions with novel objects. And if there is, then we can just enrich their environment by reducing the novelty in it.
Awesome. Are you going to take it to a conference and present on your data?
I wish I could, but it depends on if I can find a significant difference. So far, I have not been able to find anything. I just found out that total number of inspection does go down in the end period, I think. But the lateralization, it's just like, it's 50-50 so far I'm finding. So I'm putting in more different variables to look at. There's like a total number of section, object types, and then there's period. So I'm also accounting for all different things.
Didn't you guys also find a difference in tank?
Yeah, I'm trying to look at that too, and I think tank 4 was kind of weird.
For the results that Becca sent me, it was tank 3, tank 4, and tank 6 that were right lateralized, and tank 1, 2, and 5 were left lateralized.
Yeah, so I guess there's like a group level lateralization, which none of the literature have probably said.
If the fish swim as a school, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess if they are in a group and if they establish this subpopulation lateralization, it kind of makes sense because you want to be lateralized within the population so that you can kind of predict how the other fish is going to move.
Thanks. Is there anything else you guys think would be interesting to talk about?
fish. I remember looking at like the front and the back of the object inspections, because I found that really interesting how
I just started doing the analysis
to take the more risky side rather than the more one where they have the route to escape.
I'm just still playing around with the analysis data and then trying to figure out what makes sense of it, but there is a possibility that there are some differences between front of the inspection and back of the inspection.
Like they would be associating with positive emotions when they're looking at the back of the object because they're safe, or
I guess we can establish which ones are risky.
Yeah, I wouldn't say emotions. It's just maybe animals tend to be risk takers in general.
What is your dream job?
My dream job is to work with wolves and learn about some unanswered questions about them. Yeah, what's their emotional state and those kind of... And what I'm learning right now, I'm hoping I can apply when I'm actually able to work with them.
I'd like to give my heartfelt thanks to Mari Kondo and Varsha Rani, as well as Becca Franks. Music was by Princess Century off her latest release, Progress. The book.
We'll be right back.